Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you. That you got out kind of in the cool. I think it's going to end up being a pretty day. I did come in early, try to kind of warm up the sanctuary, but I think it's almost too warm, so I apologize to you. I'll do a better job next week if need be. I want to thank Bill and Jan. They're collaborating and providing us with communion from Wayne and a sermon from Wayne. And it's interesting because the sermon is from 2018. And he talks about not wanting to have to come back in the flood. And how easily we forget that, you know, we did have all that going on in 2018. And we weathered it. And we will continue to weather this and move forward. On an update with Wayne and Mary Louise, the last I really kind of spoke to him other than through a text was Wednesday, and they were feeling like, at least they were feeling the same bad. Prior to that, it was each day they felt a little bit worse, and by Wednesday they said, well, we're not any more sick. And so I texted him yesterday. I said, the congregation is going to want an update. And he said, we're still about the same. We're not any worse. And he said, our goal is just to stay out of the hospital. They are being well provided for. So, you know, no worries about that. They have food and medicine and the things that they need. They just would definitely welcome our prayers. There will be no board meeting today. The board kind of ran by the idea of trying to take care of our business this year through communication, through emails on our part for the slate of officers and the budget and that type of thing. Our objective is to try to keep people healthy so we can continue to have worship services on Sundays. So the board, thank you to anybody that's on the board that helped us push through the communication and the votes that we needed to so that we could get a letter out to some. And some of you I know have received those letters. And so in lieu of a congregational meeting next week, you have a report that has three things, resolutions that need your vote. We're making a slight change in the bylaws because it was so hard to obtain a slate of officers this year. You'll also be voting on the slate of officers and on the 2021 budget. So take a good look at that. Take your time. And then if you'll get those ballots mailed into the church office or bring them with you on Sunday so that we have them by December the 31st. I plan to have a Christmas Eve service. We're going to do our darndest to make it happen, so please put it on your calendar. It will be brief. We will not have all the participants that we've had in the past, so it'll be a little bit different, but we will have one, and it would start. Hopefully it will begin at 6:30. I'm going to go ahead and open the Chalice Abbey up today. It's 40% off. I just ask that you wear your masks and that you let's not have more than two shoppers in the store at a time. And if you'll just bear with me on my math, I can accept checks and credit card, hopefully. And that's all I have for you. Today is the second Sunday in Advent. It is our week of hope. And I think hope is the one thing that our belief in Jesus Christ and gives us. It allows us to have hope through our prayers. And so please join us as we begin our worship service.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Please join me in the call to worship and the prayer of invocation. We gather on this Advent Sunday to worship, to sing praises to God, to prepare ourselves for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. Encourage us, O God, to hear the old story with new ears as we make our personal journeys to Bethlehem. Good news. The light of the world is coming, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. We thank you that you do not leave us alone, but labor to make us whole. Help us to perceive your unknown hand in the unfolding of our lives, and attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the hope you give your people in this holy season. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Today is the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. Our hope is in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who came as the light of the world. From the book of Romans 15, verses 12 to 13, we read, "And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We light this candle today to remind us of our hope and the hope of the world that lies in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. O God of hope, we pray that you send your light into our hearts at this time. Live in us and help us to live in you. Help us to experience you as God. We await your coming in the stable, in unexpected places, in our lives, in our words, in our deeds. Help us prepare a place for you in our hearts today. Amen.
Is a star that shines in the night, leading us on till the morning is bright. When God is a child, there's joy in our song. The last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong, and none shall be afraid.
And now we come to our time for congregational prayer. I know we're all praying for Mary Louise and Wayne, and also Bob, who is feeling much better. And I understand that Hollis was in the hospital this week. So those three, we want to continue to pray for those four. But who else would you like to add to this list? Okay, brother-in-law Steve and Teresa. Okay, Jordan's, who's also experienced COVID. But he's doing better. Good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving Father, our Creator and Sustainer, thank you that we are able to come before you with mere words. Give us grateful hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hope based on our trust in you. Forgive us for dwelling on the negative, the bad news. Help us to focus on the joy of the season as we celebrate your greatest gift, the babe of Bethlehem. Father, we thank you for the heroes around the globe who serve tirelessly and selflessly in so many capacities. Make them aware of our gratitude and help us to do what we can to support them. Now we lift to you those whom we have named, as well as those who go unnamed. Make your presence known to them, surround them with your love, and please hear our prayer as we continue to pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with
spoke last week of how the star and the cross are both part of the same story. In that same manner, both the star and the cross point to hope. Hope was born in Bethlehem. Hope was fulfilled beginning in the upper room that evening. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. after blessing it in the traditional manner, he brought new meaning to it. He said, this is the cup of a new covenant, and that new covenant would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating this table as both star and cross.
Something's lost in our busy lives today. Let's not forget the reason for the season. With his love, our God gave us a king for all time. Shine bright, O Christmas tree. It's good to see our families and children find it hard to sleep on Christmas. Let's not forget Jesus is the reason. With his love, our God gave us a king for all time. In his life, a child was born in Bethlehem. I've waited so long to see what Jesus means to me. I do believe.
This is from Romans. Romans was Paul's magnum opus. He wrote it to the church in Rome, which, if you remember at this time, Rome was the center of the known universe. So when the gospel message reached Rome, and it reached Rome before Paul did, that meant that it was at the center of everything. So when Paul wrote to them, he wrote his whole theology. This is truly everything that Paul believes. Listen to these words from the fifth chapter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You know, I used to try to hide my sermon faux pas, but recently, having lost a couple of sermons somewhere in the building and having been rescued and then just getting lost in another sermon, I don't feel the need to do that anymore. So I'm going to offer you two sermons this morning. One is the sermon that I finished Wednesday and forgot to take home and couldn't remember for sure whether I had finished it or not and didn't want to make the trip back in the flood. And so this morning at about 5 o'clock, I wrote this sermon. So we have this sermon, and we have this sermon. It's a shame to waste either one of them, so I may just put them together and preach both of them. This shouldn't take longer than 30 minutes. You're okay with that, right? Do you want the short one or the long one? Oh, no, you don't even mean that. Donna, I love you. Oh, boy. Advent is that time of waiting. Literally, it means the waiting and anticipation.
So which one is this?
Man, you just get off your boat and start causing trouble, don't you? No, I can't tell you how glad I am to have Barbara back. No. This is the one I wrote the first of the week. We'll go with it until I get lost, and then I'll pull this one in. No respect. I get no respect. It's not just a retelling of the old story. That's not what Advent is for, is it? Not just the old story of a babe born in Bethlehem so many years ago. Advent should be about the anticipation of that story played out anew in each human heart during this season, and that carried forth into the rest of our lives. That's what it should be about. And we frame that story each year with four themes: peace, hope, joy, and love. Last week we spoke of peace in a way that it's not just the absence of violence. Peace is a way of mind, a way of looking at the world. So, peace, hope, joy, and love. First of all, why that order? Is it biblical? Well, yes and no. For you see, the themes are not in a straight line, are they? They are circular. One involves the other, which involves the other, which involves the other, which leads us back to the first. Today's theme is hope. Let's take a look at several questions. And it'll be, first of all, before those questions, what is the difference between, you know that old song, wishing and hoping? What's the difference between wishing and hoping? Again, not a rhetorical question. What is, for you, what's the difference between when you say, oh, I wish and I hope? What is the difference in those two? Yeah, I wish I could win the lottery. Oh, I'd give a big chunk of it here. I wish that. I really wish I could. That's not part of my hope, though. Is it? That's the difference. Wishing does not need to be based in any sort of reality at all. Here are the questions that I want us to talk about. Where does our hope come from? What do we hope for? Is hope alive and well in our world today? And finally, what is our job as Christians with regard to hope? What relationship do we have to that hope that we profess as Christians? First question, where does our hope come from? The psalmist put it this way: in God's word I hope. In God's word I hope. Okay. Pop quiz time. Do you remember the Hebrew word? Sarah, not a sound out of you. Some of y'all are going, what? Why is he picking on Sarah all the time? The rest of you can answer them that question. What is the word, the Hebrew word, that means God's word? You, Oh, Sarah doesn't know it. Jesus, yeah. You learned well from the 9-year-old. Yeah. That's right, but it's not correct. You'll remember this, and you kind of have to clear your throat to get this word. It's Ruach is spirit, but that's not it either. It's Dabar. Dabach. And it doesn't mean the word as the word on the page. It means the word as the power of God. It was understood that God's power came forth in God's word. We could say literally that God spoke the creation into being. The word of God is not about a book. The word of God is about God acting. God spoke and creation happened. In that beautiful writing by John, that prelude that we sometimes begin our worship service with, and the word was Dabar in the Hebrew, and the word became. So that is where does hope come from? God's Word becoming flesh. The source of our hope is the creative act of a loving God. Secondly, what do we hope for? What do we hope for? What do some of your hopes involve? Our hopes have generally involved our kids and our grandkids and now our great-grandkids, that they will live good, meaningful, full lives. We have hopes, you know, we all have hopes for this congregation that we will thrive and we will be a message to our community in ever new ways. But what do we hope for? Do we hope for things? No. Or asked differently, do things fulfill our deepest hopes? Nope. And that's what we're bombarded with, even more so in this season, isn't it? If we will just get this car, or this new refrigerator, or these floor mats for our Land Rover, that one is beyond me. Have you seen that commercial where the guy comes down on Christmas morning and there's a whole bunch of rubber mats in front of the tree, and he has that almost religious, ecstatic look on his face? No, that's not hope. That's not hope. If we're really honest, our hope is to live a meaningful life when we're hoping about ourselves. Isn't that true? We hope that our lives have meaning. Our time of truest joy are those times when our lives evidence, manifest meaning and purpose. You know that's right, don't you? When our hopes become real in our actions, that is when we feel most alive and closest to God. We are made, I believe that we are made to be in relationship. We are not made as solitary creatures. We are made to be in relationship with each other and with our Creator, who is the source of love. And we are most hopeful when we are helping others achieve their own hopes. I see that all the time here. I see it on Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and on Mondays. And when y'all are helping other people with things, that is when you feel the most fulfilled, the most hopeful. Third question. Is hope alive and well in our world today? And you know, this isn't a national or a political question. Do you feel just hopeful in the world? Is it? Or put another way, what are the barriers to hope in our world today? You know, I think one of the barriers I've already mentioned is that the relentless advertising that tells us we need new stuff, lots of stuff, the shiniest stuff to realize our hopes. And I know this sounds funny coming from me, because I'm the guy that had to rent a warehouse to store his extra toys in so he could get some more toys. I'm going to sell them all, honey, I promise. But things do not provide hope. And our increasing, and there's no other word for it, lust for those things as a culture is not bringing us closer to realizing our potential as human beings. And also, I believe that the increasing divisions within our world that separate us. When I do not see my sister's and my brother's hopes being connected to mine, my hope is diminished. And that's a truism. You know it is. But yes, I agree with you. I do believe that hope is alive and well. There are so many sources that cause us to be hopeful for tomorrow. So, what is our job as Christians when it comes to hope in the world? Well, our first job, obviously, is to hear and learn the story. Hear and learn the story. For God, and that's it. That's all of it. We can say it in 100 different ways, but that is the story. For God so loved the world. And then we need to make that story our story. And then we need to tell that story both in word and deed. And in doing so, we will accept every person we come in contact with as worthy of hearing that story. And then, repeat as needed. Sometimes it does seem like that there are so many more questions than answers in our world today. I think part of that started when we wound up with the 24/7 news cycle. Are you ever guilty of that? You just go from, you know, you may flip from Fox to NBC to CNN to ABC to local, and all of a sudden you're overloaded with that. We look at what's trending instead of truly looking for meaning. And that's what this season is for. That's what Advent is for. Let this Advent, the time of waiting, be such a time for you. I know what a busy time it is. Our schedules are full. We've got presents to buy, parties to attend, decorations to be hung. The Christmas spider. Wow. That's impressive. Spend time letting God's peace enter your life. Let the old, old story of Bethlehem speak to you in perhaps a new way. Make room in your individual hearts for the Christ child. because as Paul said to the Romans, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Amen.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to Bethlehem shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Church is over. Let our service begin.